Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Today's sermon came to me last September when I ended up on my back in the hospital because of COVID. I could not believe how sick and fatigued I got by this genetically engineered communist Wuhan, China, CCP bioweapon that has ravaged our nation along with many others since the winter of 2020. I appreciate the on-duty ER doctor and nurses for their swift response to my very low blood oxygen level. They are ever in my prayers and thoughts. I recovered quickly after receiving the monoclonal antibody infusion like so many others treated with this similar product. You doctors and nurses who truly care about the recovery of your patients are well deserving of the title heroes. May the Lord richly reward you now and in the age to come. But may the Lord recompense evil to those hypocrites, liars, and bumbling, idiotic fools in Washington, D.C., the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and the wicked vaccine manufacturers who love the praises of men, the love of titles, the padding of their pockets, which is the love of money, the root of all evil. Remember, you white-collar extortionists, depopulation fanatics, and goons at the FBI, CIA, and Justice Department, One day your corpse will go to the grave and you will meet your Maker and experience the terror of the Lord, for He will remember the terror you imposed upon the unsuspecting and innocent human beings in your lifetime. Read about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 11. The Bible says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. All the gold and silver on earth will not buy you out of the torment of hell and the lake of fire. 60 million helpless babies slaughtered in the womb cry out to God from the grave. Their voices resonate in the ear of the Almighty. And be sure He knows your diabolical plans to eliminate millions of others with these forced injections of dangerous mRNA spike proteins, synthetic metallic nanoparticles, and who knows what else they are lacing these injections with. You think I'm angry? Wait until these reprobates stand in front of the Lord Almighty. Read the second psalm to get a glimpse of the Lord's wrath toward the atheistic, God-hater world leaders and their henchmen. The Lord gave me this message entitled, "Where is God?" because I have been frustrated with the continual moral deterioration of our nation decade after decade after decade, no matter all the efforts conservative patriots and fundamental Christian leaders have accomplished to sound the alarm and trumpet the call for our nation and her churches to repent. To no avail. The political process and moral standards continually erode away. Our nation has gone from a beautiful constitutional Christian republic where God truly shed His grace upon it to an absolute abomination, much like Sodom and Gomorrah, which God will ultimately destroy. As God first removed Lot and his family from Sodom, so will He remove His endearing saints from off the earth before its final destruction. But until then, we must endure suffering. The title of my message stems from Elijah's profound words when he was holding the mantle of Elijah after Elijah was whisked from the earth by the chariot of fire. Elijah said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Elijah immediately received an answer. So I asked in our day and age, where is the Lord God of the Black Robe Regiment preachers that boldly bellowed forth the doctrine of liberty from tyrants who murdered the innocent? These Black Robe Regiment preachers did not entangle their churches with incorporation. They clearly understood the church was sovereign on its own. Every preacher in America 245 years ago used the same Bible, which was divinely inspired in its English language just as much as it was inspired in its original tongue. It wasn't copyrighted by some wretched publishing house that is more interested in its bottom line than the purity and integrity of God's Word. America is reaping the dire consequences of ignoring this stern warning spoken by the Spirit-led revelator, the Apostle John. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, Genesis to Revelation. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. What are we facing now in America and the whole world with COVID? Communism also is a violent plague. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. As the church goes, so goes the nation. It is not the other way around. The churches are supposed to be the gatekeepers of righteousness and the preserver of the oracles of God in a nation, especially our beloved republic. At the day of reckoning, Jesus Christ will not hold this century of churches blameless. Be sure your sins will find you out. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. Where is God? Part 3.
You had Jonas Clark. How was he famous? Lexington. The Lexington Green. It was Paul Revere. The British are coming. The British are coming. Coming from Boston to the door of Jonas Clark. The Warren. They were coming to get the two men who were visiting inside. John Hancock and John Adams. They were sending out troops to go get those two men and imprison them. And those two men turned to John, Jonas Clark, and said, are your men ready to fight? And he had a deacon and himself trained his men in his church. They told them, don't fire until you're fired upon. And the shot that was heard around the world that led to the war for independence, the Revolutionary War, was fired by the British, who told those militia standing by their church, because the church bells were pealing early in the morning and telling them to come and assemble. And the British said, put down your arms in the name of the royal king of King George and the royal army. And they say, we have no king but Jesus. Our only sovereign is the Lord. Our only sovereign is the Lord. The British fired first, and the Minutemen responded. And that was the shot that was heard around the world and birthed this nation and brought liberty, the gospel, to all the shores of the nations. But that event didn't take place until there was one event prior to it, the Great Awakening. The men were filled with the Holy Spirit. God poured out their spirit. They had the spirit of Elijah and Elisha. Other men that included, and there's a multitude of them. I can't include them all. But John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon is one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. You know what's famous about John Hancock? His name, he wrote his name the largest on the Declaration of Independence. And that's why you have that expression, put your John Hancock over here, because he wanted to make sure King George saw his name. John Witherspoon, Patrick Henry defended John Witherspoon in Virginia and got him out of prison, John Witherspoon. And John Witherspoon influenced Patrick Henry to say, give me liberty or give me death. You have John Gano, somebody close to my heart as I've studied him. He got saved in Scotch Plains, in the Baptist Church in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. I worked just down the street from where he got saved. John Gano became the pastor of First Baptist Church in New York City, and then the war broke out. And he was revered by George Washington. At John Gano's son and his grandson both became preachers. John Gano, there's a picture hanging on it in a church or a Christian school, college, somewhere out in the further west of here. I forget which college it is. John Gano baptized George Washington. John Gano baptized George Washington. George Washington was not a Mason, part of the Masonic Lodge, as the Masonic Lodge wants you to think. You know, I was in Boy Scouts, but I'm not in Boy Scouts anymore. I believed in Santa Claus. I don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. George Washington learned the folly of the Masonic Lodge. And he did not continue after he went a few times. James Caldwell, close to my heart, James Caldwell, because I grew up in Caldwell, New Jersey. North Caldwell, named for his sake. And the neighboring high school, I went to a larger high school, but the neighboring high school we had, Caldwell, North Caldwell, it was a borough of Caldwell, and then they divided it, incorporated it, North Caldwell, West Caldwell, and Caldwell. The neighboring town, Caldwell, their high school was James Caldwell. Do you know, I never knew who James Caldwell was until I read this book in my 20s. He's famous. He's a famous preacher, Presbyterian preacher. The British killed his wife. She was in her house. She passed by a window and she was shot and killed. The soldiers were running out of wadding for their guns. And he rode his horse, as a chaplain, he rode his horse to a Springfield Presbyterian church, because they were fighting near Springfield, New Jersey. And he rode to the church, gathered up all the hymnals he could carry in two armed loads, and then he started throwing them to the men. Here's your wadding, tear out the pages. And who was the great hymnist that were in many of those songs? Were Isaac Watts. And he said, boys, give them Watts, boys. Give them Watts. As he's flinging the hymnals. Give them Watts, boys. And that's where we get the expression, a Watt for. You had Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg. Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg. Let me just read to you something in the end of his sermon. He said in conclusion, the Bible tells us there is a time for all things, and there is a time to preach and a time to pray. But the time for me to preach has passed away. Then raising his voice till it rung like the blast of a trumpet through the church, he exclaimed, and there is a time to fight, and that time has come now. Closing the services, he stepped into the vestry room, laying aside his gown, put on his colonel's uniform, and stood before his astonished congregation in full regimental. This sudden apparition of a Virginia colonel to full uniform, walking down the broad aisle in the place of their pastor, took everyone by surprise. Turning neither to the right hand nor to the left, he stood sternly on he strode sternly on to the door and ordered the drum to be beat for recruits. The silence that reigned while this extraordinary scene was passing was suddenly broken by the loud and rapid roll of the drum. The congregation rose simultaneously to their feet, and the men gathered in a mass around their former pastor, scarcely one capable of bearing arms remaining behind. The calm quiet of the Sabbath day was now changed into a scene of bustle and excitement. The drum was kept beating, and those who were not in the church came rushing towards it to learn what strange event had happened. The sight of the pastor in uniform standing at the door and calling for recruits kindled the most unbounded enthusiasm, and before night, nearly 300 men had joined his standard. He immediately marched south and was present with his regiment at the Battle of Charleston, and then he went on into New Jersey. Where is God? Where is the God that divided the great pond between the superpower despot of England, King George, and the fledgling colonies of God-fearing farmers, blacksmiths, and merchants? Where is that God? Where is God? The Black Robe Regiment preachers are just like Elijah, casting their mantle down, casting their robe, their black robes. That's why they were called the Black Robe Regiment. They wore black robes when they were in the pulpit, casting it down. And God divided the Atlantic Ocean and says, England, you stay over there. I'm birthing a new nation. Where is the God of the Philadelphia Church of Asia Minor? Many of you understand this from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. One of two churches that God had no anger against. One of the two churches of the seven churches that God did not tell them there was a need to repent. The correlation and parallels of faithfulness between the Philadelphian church and the churches in the early history of America are astounding. What was our first capital? Philadelphia. where the Declaration of Independence was signed. Philadelphia, where the Liberty Bell hung. Philadelphia. The first association of Baptists was called the Philadelphia Association. It was not a denomination, it was an association. The correlation and parallels of faithfulness between the Philadelphia Church and the churches in the early history of America are astounding. America had two outstanding great awakenings. Where are the spiritual awakenings today? What is shaking the churches to their core? Council on Foreign Relations? CRT? Critical race theory? Embracing homosexual agenda? It has been some 200 years since America has experienced a spiritual awakening. The question must be asked, why? Why? God's stern warning and rebellion's resultant curse. The last few verses of the Bible set in motion a chilling warning that is ignored by massive numbers of churches and Christians today. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, let him take up the water of life freely. Jesus is saying, come. Come. Do you thirst? Do you have a spiritual thirst for the Word of God? Do you have a spiritual thirst for God? Do you have a spiritual thirst and hunger for me? And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, notice I have them in red, the words in red. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Is it the book of Revelation or the whole Word of God? The plagues. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. There it is, the plagues. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. 99% of the preachers don't even know what that means. Because if they knew, they wouldn't have touched the Word of God. They wouldn't embrace all these new versions. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So what are these plagues? Does this just apply to the book of Revelation and the entire Bible? We've asked that question already. What does it mean for God shall take away his part out of the book of life? That's not eternal life. That's life in the kingdom. The word plagues occurs 24 times in 22 verses in the King James Bible. Is this an ignorable passage that the church and Christians have no need to fear? Look at all the churches that face other versions. They don't fear it. They don't. Nobody comments about it. No concern. No trembling. No trembling. So they think the only original Bible is the Bibles that you can't have anymore because they're all torn up in Greek and Hebrew. The only originals were the originals that the authors actually wrote down. That's the only original. That's the true Word of God. No, God preserves his word from generation to generation. And God called a king, because the Bible tells us God speaks to the hearts of kings. He can mold and shape the king's heart. And God spoke to King James long before King George to clean up the Word of God in the English language. The predominant language at the time, the writing of the New Testament, was Greek. All the Romans spoke Greek. Even though some knew Latin, the Greek language from Alexander the Great spread across the world. Greek was the predominant language, but God knew that it was going to shift from Greek to English and had the Word of God translated. And it went through phases, seven phases. Read the book of Psalms and you'll see refining seven times as gold and silver is refined. God warned Israel of plagues should they happen to not obey the laws and ordinances of Moses. Is the New Testament church immune to his wrath?
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.